Well, good morning, everyone. Again, I really appreciate the opportunity to get up and give another sermon to you guys. I'm kind of like the quarterly preacher. Every 3 months, I get up here and do my best to preach from the Word. Today, as you can see, we're going to be talking about Paul. Let's face it, Paul is one of the most important writers of the New Testament. You look at a number of epistles in the New Testament, many are written by Paul. He is truly some of the most foundational truths that we have about the gospel. You can read in his epistles, which of course we know are scripture. He was inspired by God to write those things, and he's a big voice in the New Testament. I mean, a lot of the doctrine we have as Christians comes from Paul, and I think there's a lot of value and understanding who he was as a person and not just what he wrote. This morning, Brandon read from 2 Corinthians. I mean, look at the things that Paul suffered and went through as an apostle to get to that point of where he was in his life. If you look at the arc of his life, from his birth until, you know, eventually his death, he lived quite a almost absurd kind of life because he had a drastic change when he became a Christian, when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Because as we know before that, he was persecuting Christians. And Paul, I think, one thing that I gather about him, the man, is he didn't do things half measure. When he was doing something, I feel like he did it all the way. And he was pretty, I don't think he's the kind of person that if he had a shed in his backyard, he would let it get too out of control and messy. I just don't think that he was that kind of person. He was a work hard all the time kind of person that I can gather. Now, some of that is assumptions for me based on what we can read about him, but I think they're logical. And you can't really understand the man that he was if you don't start from the beginning and learn more about who he was, what environment he grew up in, what shaped him as a person, and what helped him along the way to eventually coming to Christ. So today I kind of view as a like an elementary, basic, initial study, look into it. And 3 months from now, I'll probably preach another thing about Paul that will address more aspects of him. Today won't be as much about the theological side as it would just be a biographical understanding of who he is. And I hope that even with it being a little bit of an academic study, you'll still get something from it. I think a historical context is very important. So just with that prelude, I wanted to address that before we start. So as we know, as we can read in the Bible, Paul was from Tarsus. And Tarsus wasn't just some little village in the middle of the desert. It was a very important city for its time. It was a major cultural and intellectual center. You know, I never thought about when I was growing up, I'd hear Paul of Tarsus, but I didn't think much about it. And I just kind of lumped everybody being in Jerusalem their whole life. Well, that wasn't the case. He wasn't born and raised in Jerusalem. He was born in Tarsus, which was the capital of Cilicia. Around, scholars think around AD 5 to 10. And again, that's from secular histories, but it makes sense. During the Roman period, it was one of the most important cities in the Eastern Mediterranean. I'm sorry I don't have a map for you, but where Tarsus was basically in what is now modern Turkey. It's on the southern coast of Turkey, kind of, if you can imagine the shape, basically in the middle of that. And it was in a kind of a central spot between the Roman, like where Italy is today, and the Middle East. It's kind of right there in the middle of it. Secular writers of the time, and they described it as a cosmopolitan university city. So it was a city of learning. There's many cultures that were there. It's very different in an environment than Jerusalem. I mean, very different. A contemporary geographer of the time, Strabo, he wrote about the city in his work Geography, a pretty simple title there. I guess he's the first one to claim that title and everything else had to use a different title for a geographical book. He described the people of Tarsus have devoted themselves so eagerly to philosophy and the whole cycle of learning that they have surpassed Athens and Alexandria. That's a pretty bold statement to make. Think about Athens and Alexandria in the time. Alexandria had one of the world's largest libraries, or maybe the largest at the time, before it burned down. And so those are two very prominent cities, and this contemporary writer was equating Tarsus to that. So I put that nugget out there for you to think about how that would have shaped who Paul was and how he grew up. So what I think that meant for him is that he grew up in a city heavily influenced by Greek culture. There were Greek philosophy schools there. There were probably libraries that were there. There's probably rhetorical training that was there for people to study. They were under Roman rule, so Roman administration was over them. But they also had a strong Jewish diaspora. So diaspora meaning that, yes, obviously the Jews lived in what was then Jerusalem and the surrounding areas, but they were spread all throughout the Roman world. Jews were big into commerce and finance, money handling, things of that nature, trades, the business acumen they were heavily involved in throughout the Roman world. And that's what Paul is a part of. You can make the leap there that perhaps this background, you think about the reading in Acts 17, where Paul addresses those who were, he addresses the unknown God monument there. Paul had a very philosophical discussion with them. And I think that came from his understanding that he already had where he grew up. I'm going to make that assumption that that was part of it. In Acts 17 and 28, it says, "For in him we live and move and exist, and even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his descendants." That's Paul saying that. So he knew poetic language. He knew what had been written about, things of that nature in Greek culture. And I think that makes sense considering where he grew up. I already mentioned it was under Roman administration, the city of Tarsus. I talked about its location. It was strategically located on a trade route connecting Syria, Asia Minor, and Mesopotamia. A lot of the reason why people moved from place to place back then was because of trade. One area of the world had something, a different area of the world had another thing, and they would trade that and conduct commerce. And it sat at a very good spot. It sat on the Cydnus River, which allowed ships to reach the Mediterranean. So vessels that were moving cargo from in the interior of the land could go down the river and dock at Tarsus before it sailed out to other ports. So it was under Roman provincial status, as I mentioned before, and many of the inhabitants, including Paul, and Paul makes an emphasis of this, possess Roman citizenship. I mean, Paul addresses that in other areas of the New Testament. In Acts 22 and 28, Paul is talking to a Roman soldier, and there in that verse it says, "The commander answered, 'I acquired this citizenship,'" meaning Roman citizenship, "'for a large sum of money.' And Paul said, 'But I was already born a citizen.'" So Paul was a citizen when he was born and raised in Tarsus. That citizenship gave him privileges that would later protect him at points, at times, during trials and punishment and imprisonment. We, of course, know that he was eventually imprisoned, and according to contemporary historians of the time, he suffered martyrdom. We don't read that in the New Testament, but that's what a lot of writers of the day said, apart from the Bible. And I hit on this already. There was a strong Jewish community there, the diaspora of the Roman world of Jews that lived in Tarsus. It was heavily Greek in culture, but it still had a lot of Jews that lived there. He described himself, even despite that, Paul identified himself as a Hebrew of Hebrews and as a law of Pharisee. You can read that. Again, when Brandon read his Bible reading today, I mean, he points out the fact, this is who I am. This is what I consider myself to be. Even though he did grow up in Tarsus, he still considered himself a Hebrew. But that doesn't mean he wasn't influenced by the world around him. In Philippians 3 and 5, He talks about how he was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to law, Pharisee. So I would say that was the most important identifier for him, is what he considered himself to be. Now, based on what happened when he reached his teenage years, you could probably surmise his family likely belonged to a strict Pharisaic tradition. Now, it doesn't specifically say that, I don't think, in the New Testament. But that could be part of the reason why he was later sent to Jerusalem to study under the famous rabbi Gamaliel. You can read about that in Acts 22 and 3. What I've studied and read, secular historians think he probably went there at around the age of 15. So he was already a teenager, pre-teenager, teenager, kind of at that weird point of adolescence there. So he'd already experienced a lot and gone through a lot growing up in Tarsus. He may have had a bit of a culture shock when he got to Jerusalem, because the vibe was probably a lot different there. And it probably was not a cheap thing to send him there to study. I mean, think about it. I'm sure there was financial support involved to send him all the way to Jerusalem. But he noted that as his association with Gamaliel as another point of showing who he was and where he came from. He says there in Acts 22 and 3, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are all today." And one thing you can say about Paul, he was zealous. In his persecution of Christians when he was still Saul, and then certainly as he became a Christian and carrying out the Lord's work, he was zealous. So to sum all that up, he grew up in three worlds simultaneously. He grew up as a Jew and following a Jewish religion. He grew up in a city that was heavily influenced by Greek culture, but it was under Roman rule. So that's kind of like a collision of three worlds there that he grew up in when he was in Tarsus. I think, and other writers have said, maybe that combination made him uniquely equipped to bring the gospel to the Gentile world, because he understood how they thought. He understood that they weren't as unclean as Jews may have thought them to be. I mean, he was part of that world. And I'd also like to point out, I kind of forgot about this, but a few weeks ago I talked about the Christian as an athlete. Paul wrote so many things about being an athlete and its comparison to Christians in his epistles. I think he learned that in Tarsus, because the games were there. I don't think there were games in Jerusalem, because I think they looked down on that kind of activity. But obviously, I'm just going to make the assumption he enjoyed the games a little bit, if he's going to write about it that much. I mean, he was very familiar with it. So he was definitely influenced by the world in which he grew up in. So I'm saying all that. I'm getting to a point here that, again, this lesson is a foundational lesson. I'm not going to, this may not be the most satisfying end of a sermon that you've ever had, but I'm laying it all as a foundation for future efforts. I want you to understand a little bit, if you can just learn one or two things about Paul that you didn't know before, of what we discussed, of what he was like when he grew up and how that influenced him later. Another big aspect about Paul, and I've kind of alluded to this already, Paul was not a lazy man. He was a busy man. I don't get the feeling like he felt like wasting time was a good thing to do. And we can read a certain aspect about him, even when he was apostle out preaching the word, that he didn't get by financially just by from money from brethren. Paul worked. That's one thing I'd like to touch on before we conclude today. So Paul the worker. Did Paul have a trade? Well, yes, he did. Paul worked as a craftsman, specifically a tent maker or leather worker. And where are you talking about, Walter? Where does it say that? Well, there's a little reference to that in Acts chapter 18 and verse 3. Because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by trade they were tent makers. And this is talking about in Corinth when he worked alongside Aquila and Priscilla. What did tent making likely mean? Well, the Greek word that we use for that phrase, it can mean tent maker, as it's usually translated. It can mean leather worker. It can mean a maker of awnings or shelters. During that time frame, let me tell you, tents were important. Anytime an army went out into the field to train, guess what they had with them? They had food, which a soldier moves on his stomach, as we all know, and most of us do. They had food, you know, they had their weapons, they had their armor, and they had shelter. They had to be somewhere they could sleep at night and be away from the elements. Anytime people traveled, so when Paul, as a kid, traveled to Jerusalem, I guarantee you there were nights they stayed out and maybe not in the nicest of places, and they probably had to use tents. This was a very smart choice of his to have this trade. Now, I think it was imparted to him as a younger person. I don't think trades are something you learn when you're 40 years old. I mean, typically, and not in that time, not in the ancient world. So I'm making the assumption, again, this is not in the New Testament, but I think I'm making a logical leap here. They probably learned that trade as he was growing up and perhaps perfected it through his adult life. It wouldn't surprise me. And guess what Tarsus was famous for? It was famous for a goat hair cloth called Cilicium, which was used to make tents. See where I'm getting at? The logic I'm pulling here? I think it's likely he learned it while he was in Tarsus. So he probably worked with leather, heavy cloth, traveling tents, and military shelters. And how that was a great thing for him is it was a portable trade. He could do it anywhere he was. He could be on his three missionary journeys and still make tents to make money. So why did Paul, probably one of the most famous Christians of his time, choose to work? Why didn't he just rely on the charity of others? Well, I think there's a lot of reasons for it. I mean, he did it intentionally. And in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 9, we can read, we worked night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. He didn't want to be a burden to the local church and stress them out financially because they probably had enough of their own problems they had to deal with. So while he is out there doing the work of the Lord, when he's not doing that, he's working. He's working hard physically with his hands. In Acts 20 and verse 34, as we're going to read later today, he's talking to a group of Christians as he's about to journey away from them, and he talks about how these hands ministered to my necessities. He's talking about his own. So for his food and shelter and all those things of that nature, as much as he could, he tried to earn money to support himself. His reasons probably included avoiding accusations of preaching for money. Now, there's nothing wrong with supporting preachers financially. That's not what I'm saying here. But he didn't want to burden the groups that he preached for. He's probably trying to set an example of hard work. Paul's the one that said, if you don't work, neither should you eat. Now, I'm paraphrasing that. But that's a big deal to Paul, of being a hard worker and not being lazy and using a 20th century term, mooching off others. And he also probably wanted to maintain independence while planning churches. He didn't want to be under anybody's thumb who would try to tell him, no, you need to do this or that because I'm paying you. No. That allowed him to have independence. So some historical insight to that aspect of Paul being a worker. There was an early church father, and I say that loosely. So it was somebody who claimed to be a Christian, probably second or third century, named John Chrysostom, who wrote about Paul's labor. Though he was a teacher of the world, he worked with his own hands. And that humility probably made him widely admired by the early church that he taught. So I'd say the lesson there is we should always try to do the best that we can, but we should always be, what's the right word I'm looking for? If we see a need that needs to be done, we should do it. And there's nothing wrong with taking time, taking a break, taking mental breaks, but your life should not be full of a lot of lazy time, not accomplishing things that you should. You should be trying to be, man, I wish I could think of the word right now, but industrious. I think that's the word I'm trying to get to. And Paul was definitely not one of those people that would just lay back and let everything be done for him. I do think that heavily influenced who he would later be as a apostle and a preacher, and those are some things that I'll carry forward in future sermons. So to recap what we've heard today, he was raised as a Jew in a city heavily influenced by Greek culture and under Roman rule. That's where he was raised. His educational background, along with cosmopolitan influences, helped him to relate to Gentile believers. I do believe that. And despite his robust educational background, he humbled himself by working a trade and not burdening local churches. So, with that, I'd like to read a selection from Acts 20, 17 to 38. I've already alluded to it already today. And this is a very heart-rending reading because, no, Siri, I'm not trying to summon you now. This is where Paul is saying goodbye to a flock he's been with for some time. In verse 17, we can see in Acts 20, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with fears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house." So again, he was working all the time. "Solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. And everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them, and they began to weep aloud and embrace Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the words which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they were accompanying him to the ship. What an example he was. I mean, think about it. Think about who he was, his prominence as an apostle, but these people did not look at him as a bully or a tyrant or anything of that nature. They loved him. And they knew they would never see him again until hopefully one day in heaven. So with that, I'd just like you to take some time, think about who he was as a person, where he would eventually grow into, and how we can apply that to our lives. I think we can start with the basics today. Just asking yourself, are you doing all that you can? Are you being industrious? Man, I'm not saying it right. Industrious. There we go. Are you being industrious with your time? My mom would be so proud to hear me say that. And I think that's ultimately the lesson I'd like to give to you today. And don't worry, there will be future ones in the coming weeks that will carry on the same subject. But at this time, if you need prayer, if you need comforting of the saints, if you feel so inclined, please come up as we sing the song of invitation.